Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance on this final weekend of the month of October. I will be celebrating a birthday this coming Thursday, and in that it's my birthday week, I'm going to play one of my dad's favorite sermons. At least it's one of my favorite sermons that my father preaches. I always enjoy the Heavenly Porter, and we have a lot of demand for that particular sermon, but this is perhaps my favorite, titled Behold the Man. A sermon my father preached in 1965 at the Mount of Praise Church of Christ and Christian Union Camp Meeting in Circleville, Ohio. It's unlike anything you will have ever heard as far as preaching is concerned, but I hope it will bless your heart as you'll hear the people shout and praise the Lord, and Dad gets blessed, and it's amazing to hear my dad be used of the Lord through this sermon. So I hope you enjoy it today. Don't forget to write to me. I need your help to stay on your radio station. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Of course, we're in revival services this weekend, October 26 to 29 at Hurricane, West Virginia. So pray for me. It'll mean so much. We're going to forego one of the songs and get right into the sermon, but we'll play a song for you just before Dad preaches. Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience today, and I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you'll especially be with those who are sick and shut in, those who need encouragement. May this sermon today be an encouragement to them. I thank you so much for your blessings in our lives, for the way that you have provided for the Lights of Spiritual Guidance over these many, many years that it's been on the radio. Bless this radio station that airs this program. Some are secular, some are religious stations, and we thank you for their willingness in times like this to air a gospel program. Thank you, Father, for your goodness in our lives. We entrust this program to you and ask that you would just continue to use it for your glory and your honor. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I want to remind our friends on the Salisbury station, WSAT, we do need to hear from you because we're having to take a fresh look at cost and support, and we need to hear from some of our friends in the Salisbury listening area. WSAT Radio. So let us hear from you. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our webpage, lomanministries.org, give through Venmo or PayPal. Thanks so much. May God bless you as you listen today.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet. By and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore, all the wonderful songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessings of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet
to the membership of the church at Colossae and reminding them of how grateful he was for their hope and for their faith and their faithfulness to God. And as he began to talk about the hope that they had of the glory, he says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." These verses in the first chapter of the Colossian epistle, and in the fifth verse of the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, three words: "Behold the man." Behold the man. Without doing damage to this passage of Scripture that I have read in your hearing, there are four verses that I want to reverse their order and have you to share with me in the wonderfulness of the truth that we find prevailing in these passages of Scripture. I'm sure that each of us know that to behold someone means to look at him, to observe, to somehow analyze. And today, as we look at the man Jesus and see something about his character and his life, the things that he did while he was here on this earth, I hope as never before that the Spirit will help us to get a little greater insight as to how wonderful he is than we have ever known or had before. I believe it's absolutely impossible for any philosopher or theologian, outstanding individual, to accumulate a vocabulary vocabulary that is big enough and filled with enough descriptive adjectives to describe the wonderfulness of this man Jesus, whom we testify to know something about this afternoon. Paul, in this letter to the church at Colossae, in a measure is describing him in minute detail. You'll notice that in this passage that I read, especially in verse 16, he describes him as the Creator God. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, whether they be visible or invisible. All things were created by him and for him. Oh, each of us know that according to the first chapter of the book of Genesis, it declares that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And each of us are privileged together to sit here this afternoon in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because of the great creative power that he had in throwing into existence this world and making it possible that you and I might have existence here on this earth. It was this great God of creation that made things that are visible to our eyes today and things that are invisible. When we look at the visible creative power of God, we see that it was this God that struck the womb of night with his male fist, and 10 billion stars gleamed upon the stretches of boundless space. It was this God that set the queen of night into her orbit to shed a golden ray of light across a midnight sky. It was this God that set the furnace of the sun on fire to shed rays of warmth to Mother Earth. It was this God that scooped out the valleys and upreared the mountains and said, thus far to ocean waves shalt thou come and no further. It was he that somehow carpeted the earth with verdant green and laced it with running brooks and with flowing rivers. It was this creative God that set the evening star to stand like a lone sentinel on guard duty in the western horizon. It was he that painted the late afternoon sunset with all the golden hues of heaven's beauty. It was this God that blew his breath upon the petal of a rose and turned it to a velvet pink, a golden yellow, a crimson red, or a lily white. It was this same God that took the dust and made man in the likeness of his own image, breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It was this same God that prepared a little virgin to conceive, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. When I think of him being able to create things that are visible for the natural eye, I also know that he is the creator of things that are invisible. I've never seen, beloved, the celestial city of God that's described so vividly in the book of Revelation. But I, because I know this man that I'm speaking about this afternoon, I know that he is the creator of a city four square where there'll be 50 miles of elbow room. We can shout and praise God throughout the ceaseless ages of a long eternity that shall never come to an end, to walk on a street of pure gold, to look on walls of jasper and gates of pearl, to live in a city where decay never gnaws at fadeless beauty, where time never writes a wrinkle, and where death never digs a grave, to live in a city that he is preparing and building for us, where there's a river that flows down through the midst of the city, and on either side of that river are the 12 trees which bear the 12 manner of fruit, which are for the healing of the nations. And my friends, it's a city where the gates shall never be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. It's a place that he's creating, that he is making, beloved, that's still invisible to the natural eye here. But I'm so glad that I know this man who is the Creator God. But I not only know him as the one who can create, but you notice that verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. I look across this afternoon, beloved, in my imagination, and I see a great host yonder in the heavenly city. There's silence for just a few moments, and God is bringing one to volunteer to leave the glories of heaven and come down into this world. And I see him in his condescension as he leaves heaven, where there's sun-kissed hills and jasper walls, and where the songs of the angels in deathless atmosphere. And I see him look out over a sin-cursed world and say, Father, I'll go. And I see him the next morning, beloved, lying on a bed of straw in a little manger down at Bethlehem of Judea, while a bright, brilliant star hangs over the place where the Christ child is laying, and the angelic choir takes the message to the shepherds on the Judean hills and cries to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I see him as a babe there, but my friends, I watch him as he grows into his young teenage and then into manhood. And I see this man who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And if you'll go with me, I'd like for you to take a tour with me for just a few moments this afternoon and see him. No, you've never seen him with the natural eye. You've never looked upon him in all of his glory. But my friends, see him as the image of the invisible God, proving what the book says that he was. Go down to Cana of Galilee, and you see, beloved, as he walks there into the wedding feast at Cana, and the host is embarrassed, and somebody says to him, and the refreshments have given out, and his mother turns to him, and he says, mine hour has not yet come. And she's whatsoever he saith, do it. And he said, take these water pots and fill them with water. They took them out and filled them, brought them back at the master's feet. And in a moment, he pushed aside the machinery, the paraphernalia, the dispensation of time that goes into producing wine. And in a moment, he turns water into wine at Cana of Galilee. And they served that to the guest. And they all marveled that that was better than that that they'd served at the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, that's nothing to marvel at, because the wine they served at the beginning was made by human hands, but this wine has been made by divine hands, and anything that has a divine touch upon it is better than that that has a human touch upon it. And he walks out of the marriage feast at Cana of Galilee, and a nobleman rushes up to him, and he says, ere come down, ere my child dieth. Jesus Christ stood there, this man who is the image of the invisible God, and says to that nobleman, go thy way, the child lives. And that man didn't argue with this man Jesus. He started home, and he got halfway home. He had come all the way from Capernaum up to Cana, and he got halfway home. Listen, beloved, it was 29 miles back there, but 14 and a half miles down the road he met his servants. They compared their timepieces together, and they found at the very moment that Jesus said the child liveth, that child was made every whit whole. Beloved, but it proves to me this afternoon that he who creates life is able to sustain life. He walks to the pool at Bethesda. A paralyzed man for 38 years had never walked a step, wanted to get into the troubled waters. And Jesus said, "Well, sir, what will thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I might be made whole." And Jesus said, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk. Thy faith has made thee whole." And for the first time in 38 years, that paralyzed man rolled up his mattress and went walking home. He made his way down to Galilee. And beloved, the multitude was great. The thousands were following after him. I see him reach the Sea of Galilee, and the multitudes, beloved, find a place where they can listen to this masterful man bring his message. And he stands there and preaches to them. 5,000, if you please. And when he was finished, there was no basket lunches. There were no picnic boxes. There were no tables spread. But beloved, Andrew and some of the other boys milling about among the crowd, and Andrew saw a little lad sitting over there unwrapping his lunch that his mother had given to him. And I hear him as he said, "Sonny boy, where did you get that?" He said, "None of your business. That's my lunch. Mom fixed that for me, and it's mine." But he said, "Sonny, would you like to meet the preacher?" "What do you mean to tell me? You'll introduce me to this man that preached to us?" "I sure will. How can I meet him? Just give me your lunch." And I see that little fellow wrap up that package that contained a few barley loaves and a few little sardines and hand it to Andrew. And Andrew takes him to the master. And he says, "Master, here's a little lad that's got a few loaves and fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus took the little lad and he says, "Get out here and feed this crowd." And they started in with 5 barley loaves. 3 of those barley loaves wouldn't have been as big as a short loaf of bread you buy at the supermarket. And how would you feel, beloved, to start to feed 5,000 people with 1 20-cent loaf of bread? But he started out, and instead of it diminishing, it increases. It enlarges itself. And beloved, they get around. They feed multitudes of 5,000 people with a few little barley loaves and a few little sardines and have 12 baskets full left. That proves to me that this man, who is the image of the invisible God, can not only create life and sustain life and empower life, but he can provide for life. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And he got on the ship, beloved, and on stormy Galilee and said to the disciples, "Boys, go over to the other side." He went down into the hinder part of that ship and, beloved, went to sleep. He was tired. He was weary. And a storm came up and they went running back and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus walked to the helm of that ship and said, "Peace be still." And they said, "What manner of man is this that the winds and the waves obey his voice?" Ladies and gentlemen, this man that I'm talking about can not only create life and empower life and sustain life and provide for life, but he can protect life. He'll go with you even unto the end of the age. You can count on that. But he reached the other side, and walking down the street, he heard a man who was crying out. He'd heard somebody said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And I hear old blind Bartimaeus say, "That's the man I've heard so much about. That's the fellow that turned water into wine at Cana the other day. That's the fellow that's been healing the sick. And if I could just get him to stop here long enough, maybe he'd listen to me. And maybe he could help me and touch my eyes." And he began to cry aloud. And that Pharisaical church crowd of his day came down and said, "You old blind bum, you've been sitting out here in the way day after day, and you're always begging. Why don't you keep quiet? This man hasn't got any time for you." Listen, friends, may I deviate long enough to say that that old Pharisaical crowd's not dead yet. We've still got a lot of them over the country today, and they don't want you to cry aloud, and they don't want you to pray aloud, and they don't want you to get in there in earnest about this thing. But I believe that a man that wants to know this man Jesus can get in that earnestness about it. And beloved, he's determined to get the attention of the master. But the book says that he cried the more the louder, and Jesus heard him, and he came down to where he was. all. Said, what will thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus touched him. He threw away his alms pen and went walking home for the first time seeing the glorious handiwork of God in all of his life. But they ran up to him with a note. He looked at it. It said, he whom thou lovest is sick. And he put it in his pocket. And you say, wait a minute, preacher, is that all the note said? That's what the book says. It says, he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, didn't he love everybody? He surely did. But my friends, I've got news for you. I don't care who you are, where you live, what the number of your house is, what the circumstances are that surround your life. This man that I'm talking about knows the number of your house. He knows the route you live on. He knows whether it's in a ranch-style home or in a log cabin. He knows whether you got a bank account or whether you haven't got a dime. He knows the room they put you in when they take you to the hospital. And they know, beloved, when they roll a casket into the front room in the midst of all your suffering. He knows all about you. But a few days passed, and he said, let's go to Bethany. And they said, Master, did not of late the Jews sought to stone thee, and thou goest again? He said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walketh in the light, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if he walk in darkness, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. And on the way up to Bethany, two broken-hearted sisters had buried their brother a few days before. One of them said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And he said, your brother shall live again. She said, I know he'll live again in the resurrection of the last day. But it was at the Bethany home that day that he reached across the boundary line of worlds and pushed back the clouds and the curtains, and, beloved, lifted that Old Testament question out of the book of Job, if a man dies, shall he live again? And Jesus stood there at Bethany that day, and he answered that question when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he said, where is the tomb? And she said, by this time he stinketh. And, beloved, they wept, and he wept with them. He said, roll that stone out of the way. And they rolled that stone back, and he looked in. There was Lazarus dead, wrapped in grave clothes and a napkin about his face. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, bound hand and foot, wrapped in grave clothes and a napkin about his face. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he can not only create life and sustain life and empower life and provide for life and protect life and illuminate life, but he can recreate life. One of these days, this preacher that's preaching to you this afternoon, I may go by the way of a cemetery, but if I do, the first noise I hear, I'm a coming out. Because that'll be the day the trumpet sound. That'll be the day.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.